that means that they are not closed.
All he did is point out that this is going to suck.
When you close, there has to be a certain point where you make the ask and you stop talking.
Highlight what's best about you and go with that. You walk in with enough confidence, they won't even ask the question.
Let's see if this guy finally asks for an appointment. Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis back again. I usually say you're welcome. They're definitely welcome to today. I mean, I'm excited. I think I have a good call to listen to. What about you, Brian?
I do too. I'm pretty excited about it. You know, it's funny because there's always different opportunities. We do role play in the mornings, I think, a lot of times. And I learn stuff even as the person who's, you know, part of that's a coach, I still learn stuff. And it's just always new things that we didn't think about. Right. So I think that's why we get so many people are tuning into this, because there's always something new and always a new way to deal with it. And that's what excites me about this.
Yeah, exactly. So my call today, very interestingly, like I have definitely experienced this before and done it myself. But, you know, Brian, have you ever like been able to talk yourself into an appointment or a lead and then talk yourself out of that appointment, or sort of talk yourself into a sale, then talk yourself out of a sale?
I would love to say no, Dale, but that'd be a bold-faced lie. So right. Yes, I've talked past the close is kind of what we call that sometimes. Like, I got it. Oh, I better say some more. And then all of a sudden you don't got it anymore, right?
Oh, yeah. You're like, okay, great. I'm going to keep saying stuff because saying stuff is doing good. No, it did good a while ago. Now you need to stop saying stuff. So the call we're going to listen to today, this agent got a referral or a potential listing. The woman is interested in selling her house. She was getting kind of advice from a friend, and we'll hear a little snippet of that. But I want you to listen to this. And I would put it this way. This agent doesn't just land the damn plane, get the appointment, right? Make the appointment beneficial to the prospect, and then ask the prospect if they want that. And then say, great, you want it. Cool. Here's when we're going to do it. We don't hear that in what I'm going to play for you.
I was going to say, it sounds perfect. Where did we screw up?
No, that didn't happen. It didn't get executed that way. So we're going to listen to this. I'm going to put it on 1.25 because this is a 16-minute call. And I'm starting at about 9 minutes in. So we know the premise. This is a referral. She's talking about potentially selling her house. It's a man talking to a woman. So the agent's a guy.
I knew wanted me to paint the whole house, help live brighter and bigger. I'm like, I'm going to spend this money to paint this house. And then what if they come in and don't like it and then just go paint it again? And then, you know, that's the money that I could have used for my new house, you know? And
all right. So, right. We hear the premise. My friend, now I don't know if the friend's an agent or whatever, friend is giving her advice on doing this work. She doesn't want to do the work, somehow gets referred to this agent, who the guy who's now talking to her.
Or she's like, let's stage it, or, you know, rent storages. And I'm like, I don't have money to rent storages to put all my stuff in. I need as much money as I can for my new house, because I want to have the minimum mortgages that I can afford for myself, because I'm going to be on my own, you know? Yeah, so that's where I'm, you know, I had all those little dilemmas with her, and that's why it was kind of like, I decided to like.
The agent's doing a good job letting her talk.
I agree. Yeah.
Yep. Let's get it out.
Back off speak, you know, the because I want to do all these extra stuff that that I felt that wasn't necessary, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was necessary or not, but I felt it was unnecessary. Oh, I felt like it was money that was going to be spent that it could have been for me, you know.
Right.
Because I kept telling her, I'm trying to get as much as I can out of this house because I need that money, you know.
Yeah.
So she wants to get the most money she can out of the sale of her home, which makes sense, right? And she's saying she needs to do that.
I think there's an opportunity. I don't know what this agent says, but so I heard that what you want is to get the most money out of your house. It's something that he probably should say to her at some point in time, and I don't know if he does.
Absolutely. Well, he says a lot. Let's see if it's in there.
So moves like this sometimes happen out of town, either moving into town or moving out of town, but it's something that I do a lot with clients, helping them prepare their home and helping them plan for the move, because it's not just one transaction that we're speaking of. There's two transactions, right? Double the headaches, right? Double the stress that I'm trying to take up my client's home. Actually, I'm working with someone right now. It was the opposite. They're moving from a condo to a, you know, there's a local home. They're instructed at their home right now. We managed to set them up so they can move, minimize this they had to. So here's what I'm going to recommend. And this is something that I do for my clients.
All right. Now, first of all, the guy did not acknowledge anything she said.
Not a single word.
Didn't acknowledge it. Didn't reinforce it. he just went on to, he sort of like took in what she said, ran it through the filter of what he thinks, then starts telling her some random story about another client that had no point.
Here's another thing he did. Double the stress, double the problems. Like, I'm okay with you saying something like that. If you follow it up with, one of the things that I'm good at is managing this so that you don't have to deal with all that. Not every agent's good. But all he did is point out that this is going to suck. And they stopped.
Right. Yeah. Where do we go with it? Which part of this is going to suck? Me working with you or me doing it without you? I'm not quite sure.
All I know is no other agent told me this was going to suck. And you're telling me this is going to suck. I don't like you.
Okay. Let me keep playing. So now he's going to make a recommendation.
Even if they're just preparing to move down the line or something that they need to do. But I'll come over to your house. I'll walk it 10, 15 minutes. And I can take a look at the progress and everything that you mentioned over just a moment ago about what you're doing. And I can give you some advice on the things you focus on for a high return, right? And what things are not worth doing. Because again, you're not going to get dollar for dollar back.
All right. Not bad. I can come to your house, walk it 15 minutes. I can show you what things you will get a return for, which ones you want, which ones you can leave alone, which should match up somewhat to what she said her struggle was, which was her friend was giving her advice that she didn't have money for, right?
Absolutely. And I don't know, based on what she said, whether she actually doesn't have money to do that or she's just trying to maximize her profit. She didn't say, I don't have $500 to go rent a storage place. She said, I want to maximize my profit.
She did say, I don't have monies to rent storages. That's
what I missed that. Okay. You should listen better than I did if you're listening.
So she did say, I'm not going to pay to paint my house. I don't have money for that. I'm not going to rent storage units. I don't have money for that. Okay. I need all the money I can get from this house to put into, you know, the next house. So then, you know, he did not terrible of a pitch, right, for doing the walkthrough. But if we were going to clean that pitch up a little bit, I want to tie it a little bit closer to exactly what she said. Oh, hey, yeah, listen, selling a home is a pretty big deal, and you could sink a whole bunch of money into it that you'd never get back again. One of the first things that I do with a client who's considering selling is we first take a look at the home and see what things we can get the biggest return from for the least amount of money, if we do anything at all. Sometimes we could just clean it up without spending a dollar, and it will make it look the best it possibly can and get you the most money possible. I'm available to do that this week, either Wednesday or Friday, right?
I love it.
Make it much closer to her unique situation, because she gave you so much great information to work from. You just take it and you build it into the narrative of why you need to meet with me, because it matches exactly what you just said.
It's interesting, because most people, like this woman, if you can get them to open up, they'll tell you exactly how to sell them. You just have to pay attention to what it is. Once you do that, it comes down to what's important to them. Once you do that, it's kind of like I used to do expired listings a lot. And I would always ask, what did your last agent not do that you would like him to do? Oh, he didn't. Oh, great. That we do that. That's really important to him. And of course, then I did it. But people will tell you exactly what they want if you ask enough questions and you've created enough rapport. Clearly, he's done a great job building rapport. She has told him every story that he doesn't want to hear and some that he does. So,
yep, exactly. She told you how to sell her, and he didn't use it to sell her. You know, the guy's a student in our training. We keep working on that stuff. It's one foot in front of the other. We keep getting better. This is what we do. You and I are the old dogs that have done it a billion times and screwed it up more times than half of the people listening to us have even tried it so far.
Amen.
So you just keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
Check the description below. I have several links down there where you can get free live with me additional training to help you in your business, to help you overcome more objections, get into better conversations, convert your leads at a higher level, and really just become the kind of lead generating and converting agent that you know you want to be. And the one that you know you need to be in order for you to hit your sales goals. So come join me. Check out the links in the description.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Just try to save you time and money. Uh-huh. I'll bring a calendar and we can kind of lay out how a move would look like in 3 months and give you a couple different options on how you could move. Right? One is a bridge loan. The other one is contingent on selling contingent on finding a home or finding like, there's different options that we can explore.
Okay.
We got to figure out which one is the best for you. And more or less, I'll work on your timeline. I am not in a rush to sell. Like, I'm not trying to sound too high, you know, myself, but I've been doing this for a while. 95% of my business comes from referrals.
Okay.
He just keeps on talking, man. A close is asking for a decision or an action, right?
Yeah.
When you close, there has to be a certain point where you make the ask and you stop talking. That's the point at which the prospect or the lead makes the decision, yes, no, or maybe, but you have to wait for it. But you have to stop talking in order for them to do that.
Right. Both people can't talk at the same time, at least not usually, right? So, like, I like some of the things he was saying, except that I would like to have seen them at the appointment instead of on the phone call.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, it might look something like this. Hey, it sounds like you have a pretty challenging situation. I'm going negative on purpose. Why am I going negative? Because I'm going to solve the problem. And the best thing for me to do is come over, take a look at your house, go over the different options that we have. There's a bunch of different ways to approach this. And then you and I together can decide which one works best for you. I've got time on Tuesday or Wednesday next week. Which of those days would work better for us to put together a plan for you?
Yep, exactly. So I think we came to a break where he finally stopped talking. Let's see what happens.
Because I have somebody that really enjoyed the way that I helped him. Don't take my word for it. Please, you know, Google me, look at my Google reviews, see what other people are saying. but my point is that I'm not the type of person that's going to pressure you to do something and sell your home. You know, there's timelines that we have to abide for. But getting you to the point where you're going to sell your home.
You know, I have a rule. I'm going to put it on the 10 commandments of sales.
Okay.
Never believe a salesperson who tells you how much you should trust them.
You know, it's interesting. You know, listing presentations, right? There, I used to have an about me document in there. And I'm going to say I used it 1 out of 100 times, and that's not an exaggeration. I usually just flip past it. Why? Because nobody cares about me. Why did I have it in there? In case they asked. So I could say, oh, blah, 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 blah. Why would you tell somebody to Google you? Why would you tell somebody I can get you references? It's because they either ask, which didn't happen here, or you don't have the confidence to say, I'm just good. This feels like begging to me.
Yeah. Usually I found that, especially when I was a newer salesperson, this actually worked out well for me, is that usually people that are really good don't brag about how good they are. They just show up and they sound good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's usually how that
goes. How good you are. Show me how good you are. And right. It's partially with the words that you use. But
if you're in a competitive situation, oh, I'm meeting with top agent here and top agent here, then you better walk in and you better demonstrate. You better come in swinging, right? You better show that you are a big dog and give them the numbers because that's what they're comparing. But usually, if you show up with the aura of, I have the experience, I've done this a million times, I know exactly how this goes, and I have the confidence to show up here and sound like it, you don't have to talk about your numbers.
Yeah, like one of the things you hear all the time is, I'm a new agent. How am I going to deal with how many houses have you sold or da-da-da? Here's the answer to that. You walk in with enough confidence, they won't even ask the question.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's true. I mean, how many times? Did you go on an appointment and have to show your numbers?
Never. Only in competitive situations.
Yeah, even then, though. So, okay, so Dale, let's pretend Dale and I are competing against other. So Dale has sold 25 houses in your subdivision. I haven't, and I appreciate that. Dale does all of these great things. He's a great agent. Here's why you should pick me, though, because I don't have 25 other clients. Matter of fact, I only have 2. So what I do is I focus on just working with a small number of clients and doing a very good job with each one of them instead of trying to sell, you know, 100 and 200 houses a year, which makes more sense for you.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I have a slight twist on that same idea, Brian, which is like, oh, big agent with 20 or 30 or 100 listings. Yeah, listen, let me ask you this question. I only carry somewhere between 3 to 5 listings at any given time. So let me ask you this. If I have your listing, how much do I care about getting your listing sold in a timely fashion versus big team over there? Which of those 30 or 40 listings do they care about selling? It doesn't really matter to them. This is why you should work with me, right? Same idea.
And I can flip it on its head if I'm the big agent.
The other way around.
Understanding the benefits of working with you, whatever they are.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, do I think a team is generally better than a single agent? Yeah. But if I work with single agents who are better than teams, yeah. So you don't have to be any of these things. Just be the best version of you. Highlight what's best about you and go with that.
Yeah. Let's see if this guy finally asks for an appointment.
I'll work with you. I'll help you plan. And I'll help you do it. I'll help you pack if you need me to, but all of your time.
Tell me your name again.
Listen, I have open house in Pittsburgh.
I'm sorry. What's the name of the company you work for?
I'm with.
Okay. And let me get a phone number for you.
Brian, when you shoot for your clothes, which he never fully asked for, by the way, when you shoot for your clothes and the prospect asks what your name and where you're from and your phone number, that means that they are not closed. You have a mouse's hair of a chance that they're going to say yes to that appointment that you just asked for. Because when they do that, they're like, I'm going to think about you, or I'm going to think about whether I want to take a next step with you. That's what's coming next, right?
Yeah, I will say this, and this is not to say this guy's doing a great job, because I don't think he's doing a great job. Even if I had screwed up, not build enough rapport, the person couldn't remember my name, I'm still going to try and close. And because at the end of the day, you close, most people say yes. They really will. And I want you guys to take who are watching it, take away from that. This guy's done a million things wrong here. He's done a couple of things right. And if he will close well enough, he can still get an appointment. Now he's going to have to do a lot of work when he gets there because he's dug himself a hole.
Yeah.
And still close.
Yep. Here's what I hear. I'm 13 and a half minutes into this call.
Mm-hmm.
The prospect doesn't remember my name or where I'm from, and I've kind of sort of asked for an appointment. When you get to that red flag, you must realize that you haven't built enough rapport, or you haven't built enough desire from that person to get whatever it is that you're offering. So I would, at that moment, give them the contact info. You need to get them a little more committed to the idea that you can help them with information or whatever it may be before you try to pull your clothes again. Would you agree with that?
I would. You know, remember How to Win Friends and Influence People. Those of you who have read that book, you know, Dale Carnegie in that book talks about a party he goes to and how he just basically asks people questions. And then everyone says he was the greatest conversationalist ever. He doesn't actually say anything. Right. This guy needs to read the book and understand that he was doing great when he was letting her tell her big, long story about, and I don't even know what it was about. I don't care, but he was doing great there. And then he switched to kind of like a lot of people. We could make a sitcom out of this. This could be a husband and a wife. The wife is talking and talking and talking about this. The husband goes, oh, I finally get a turn, and talks about something completely different, but feels like he's talking about, and that's what's going on here. Yep. There, it's an incongruent conversation. She's having one conversation, he's having another. Remember, your conversation doesn't matter. The client's conversation matters.
I'm just going to tell you what happened here. He gives his information, then he just keeps talking and talks about, oh, I have an open house coming up. Maybe you can come to the open house. She's like, great, send me the info. And he's like, okay, cool. So I'll pull some, what's your address? I'll pull some comps. I'll email them over to you and hope to see you at my open house. That was the end of the conversation.
I'm very sad now.
I know. You're like, I wish you wouldn't have told me. Moral of the story is try to build some rapport, establish the value, ask for the appointment, make it a clear value to them and ask for that action. Shut up and let them answer the question. Stop selling past the sale. I think those are the key elements here.
I mean, seriously, you started playing this about 9 minutes in. About 2 minutes after that, he could have said, you know what? Sounds like we got an amazing opportunity here. It would be best for me to see what we've got going on. I've got time on Tuesday or Wednesday. Why don't we just do this in person? That way I can give you better information. He could have closed right there and not talked about how he was great or doing an open house or all the other things he talked about. And this would have been a much shorter phone call and he would have got the appointment.
Yeah, he talked for about 3 minutes with a roundabout attempt to book an appointment and then kept on talking and never made an ask.
I'm going to point something out to the audience that I think it makes me cringe. And I have to give somebody credit for it. I took a course from a woman named Monica Reynolds, God, probably 15 years ago. And Monica was a big trainer. She worked for Chris Heller, if you guys know who Chris Heller is. And I didn't love the course, to be honest. But here's what I took away from it. Email is not a communication. She must have said that 100 times. Like, if you didn't hear that taking that course, you didn't listen to that course. So it's a red flag to me. Anybody time says, I'll send you an email, and then doesn't have a follow up that I'm going to do. So I say, Dale, I'm going to send you an email and I'll see you at my open house. I might as well send it by carrier pigeon, because it's got about the same chance of getting received, right?
Might as well invite you to sit and wait for another agent to call you and do a better job at selling it.
So if you're saying I'll send you an email and you don't have a phone call follow-up set with that, know that I'm going to dog on your phone call. Because you've got to follow that up with, and then I will call you next Tuesday to do da 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 da. Or, you know, and this happens more on the buy side than the sell side, right? On the buy side, it's, I'm going to send you these houses. This is what agents do. I'm going to email you these houses, take a look at them, and let me know which ones you want to see. Nope. I'm going to email you these houses. When would be a good time for me to call you? During the day or after work? After work, great. I'll call you tomorrow after work. We'll figure out which ones work, blah, 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 blah. So if you're sending an email, there always has to be an action followed up with it, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. You got a call for us today, Brian?
My call is basically an interesting call in that the buyer is a little bit further along than they, or not quite as far along as they think. And the agent, in my opinion, doesn't do a good enough job to drag them with her. So that's kind of the concept. By the way, this is a realtor.com phone transfer type of deal. In case you guys are wondering what the type of phone call this is, that's what this is. So I forwarded it to the point where we're just going to start talking.
How can I help you? I was wondering about that property on, let me find it again.
Is it the?
Yes, that, yes.
Okay. What specific questions did you have about it?
Well, I was wondering if I could get a, I don't know if this is, it is my first time buying a house or trying to get a step in the right direction. I was wondering if I can get a USDA home loan on it.
Let me look and see if that's in a location that we can do that.
No.
Right. Unless
this agent really knows about USDA.
Well, so it's actually not hard to figure it out. You can actually go to the USDA website, punch in the eligibility, put in the address, and it'll tell you I did it. So that is a possibility. But what I just said takes what, a minute?
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, I'm okay with you doing it, but ask a question and then go do it. Hey, I'm going to check on that. While I'm checking for that, what are you looking for? Or what about this house makes you interested? Some version of that, so that a person can talk while you're sitting around trying to figure out if this house is eligible or not. Would you agree with that approach?
I would. And I have a question, Brian. Is USDA common in your area?
Yes.
Okay. So if I were the salesperson and you called in about a property and you were asking about USDA financing, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If I said, oh, hey, Brian, yeah, I can definitely figure that out for you. Just out of curiosity, how did you decide that USDA would be the best for you?
Great question.
Would that be an inappropriate question in your market, or is that an obvious one?
Great question, because the answer 95% of the time is it's 100% financing loan, and I don't necessarily have a down payment, or I don't want to spend my money on a down payment, or I'm trying to get in the house with the least amount of money out of pocket. Perfect. It tells you who the person is 100%.
I would do something like that. Like, I don't care about whether this house can do a USDA financing or not. I want to know about you.
Yes, exactly. Which is why, you know, what are you looking for in a house? What about this house? Or to Dale's questions about the loan. Because, you know, here's the difference. I say this all the time. Don't go and start talking about loans. But this guy started talking about loans. So therefore, talk about loans.
Talk about the loan.
Yep.
You know, and you know, one of the things I'm working with a done for you ISA company right now that calls your leads for you.
Oh, nice.
Whose name I will not name. I am helping them punch up their scripting.
Nice.
And you know, their scripting's kind of basic. You know, one of the points that I'm making is that nowhere in their scripting is rapport. And when you listen to calls, when you listen to conversations with consumers, 99% of the time, they will inadvertently tell you something that is unique to them, that you can key on, that you can ask about, that will build rapport with them. It's dead stupid simple.
And by the way, what Dale just said, you need to be looking for that on every single call, because when you find it, you win.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so easy. And so I'm programming it into their scripting, just like, hey, you're listening for any personal piece of info and you have to ask one more question about whatever it is.
I love it. Ask the next question. I say that all the time. I'm sure you do too, Dal. Just ask the next level question. Hey, I really want to buy a house in location X. Oh, perfect. What do you like about location X? That's all that is. That's all we're saying. We're not saying, you know, get down to the minutia. We're saying get the person talking in a little bit more specific way. And by the way, it usually excites them, right? Oh, because of this and this and this and this. They're not telling you the stuff that they don't like. They're telling you the stuff that they like. All of a sudden, they're more open. They're happier. I mean, it wins on so many different levels, in my opinion. Let's listen a little bit more.
Are you already pre-approved for a loan for that?
I'm okay with that question because he came in talking about the RD loan.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to counter that point with the fact that he's said, I'm trying to figure out how to take the next step.
Well,
you know, and money is threatening. When somebody's like, I don't know where to start. You're like, where's your money? Right? I don't know.
So let's see what she does here. I don't really love this either, but let's just listen to it a little bit.
That, of that kind, is that why you're asking?
Yes, that's why. I'm not approved for anything yet. I would like to find out if
that makes the person feel foolish when they have to say that
a little bit.
Yeah. And it's not a good, I have learned now over my years that you want to decide when to make your lead look foolish. And you need to be very specific about when you do that.
And not very,
not very often. Needs to be very specific when you do it. And so try to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah. So, by the way, if you wanted to know if this person had been to a lender, you know, it's an easier question than are you pre-approved? Have you talked to anybody about the RD loan? Like, what do you know about it?
Yeah,
oh, I've just researched online, or I sat and talked to a loan officer for 3 hours, or because again, I'm not telling them they're a moron for not talking to the lender. I'm just asking, have you talked to anybody about this? What's your level so that I can do my part in essence?
Yeah. Yep.
I'll get pre-approved on one.
Okay. What are you doing?
Brian, I want to implement a new strategy among sales teams.
Please.
When we listen to your call, there's going to be the silence jar. For every 30 seconds that there's silence on a call that you, the salesperson, have created, you got to pay $5 per 30 seconds into the silence jar.
I like it. I like it a lot. Okay. It's a funny story about jars. I went to a meeting one time and it was very much you weren't allowed to curse. And so I took there was a bowl in the middle of the table. I emptied it out and threw a $20 bill in and I said, I'm going to prepay. So
that's funny.
Will I just go up to USDA and apply on the website to see if I get pre-approved?
I would suggest you go through a local lender to do that. They would be able to tell you a little bit better. Like they can always, the USDA is not a bad place to start. It's just every state and has different local guidelines that they have to follow. And so whenever you go to the government,
sales training, hey, USDA could be a fantastic choice and it's one of many. Here's the best place to start. If you're not sure, I'm going to personally connect you with my own lender. Does an excellent track record of helping people just like you. Let me just get a few more questions from you and then I'll personally make that connection.
Yeah. So that's my big takeaway. And I don't need to pay any more of this call. It doesn't really matter, to be honest. But what I want the audience to take away from this is this part specifically is that's not what she does. I can refer you to somebody. That's basically what happens. Understand who you're talking to. It's really, really important. This person is a first-time homebuyer. How do we know we're a first-time homebuyer? Well, listen to the I don't even need to ask them if they're a first-time homebuyer. This guy's a first-time homebuyer. That doesn't make him a bad human. There's no judgment in it.
This is perfect.
I love first-time homebuyers. Like, I bet you that probably the first 25 transactions I did on the buy side were first-time homebuyers. I love them. Like, they're easy to work with. And here's the opportunity. Somebody else is going to talk to this person and take control of the situation. I don't know what this guy's name is. It doesn't really matter. Bob, let's just have a quick conversation. Okay. Sounds like you want to buy a house. You do that. I would love to help you. And there's a process that we can go through to ensure that you get the absolute best service. As a matter of fact, I specialize in working with people who have not bought a house before. It sounds like you haven't. No, great. So when's a good time for me to get you? I mean, I would take over and be in charge of the situation because he's very receptive. He's open. Now, a guy calls me and says, I've owned 27 houses and I make $500,000 a year. I'm not going to do that. I don't need to take over. As a matter of fact, if I do, I'm probably going to lose the deal. Understand who you're talking to and adapt your level of control, I guess is really what I'm saying to that person. Yeah. High level of control.
I would definitely play this call and I would use it as an example because taking control is exactly what she should have done and didn't do. And I don't know if she didn't feel like she had the permission to do that, but I mean, this guy literally almost couldn't ask more for her help. He literally was like,
should I go to
you tell me which you tell me which way to go and I'm going to do it, right? That's what I'm hearing.
And by the way, guys, if you're afraid to get as direct as I just said, watch this question. Hey Bob, I appreciate it. Sounds like you're a first-time home buyer. I work with a lot of first-time home buyers. Is it okay if I take you through the process so that you can? Oh yeah, that'd be great. I just got permission to be in charge. So if you don't feel as comfortable as Dale and I just jumping in there and being in charge, kind of ask permission. And that's
I guarantee this lead would have been like, thank God. Yes. I'm glad you offered.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. He didn't say, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Right. And do you think this guy wants to go and call another random salesperson and look stupid again, all over again? No, he doesn't. Like, this needs to be a mercy kill. Take over and make it so that he doesn't have to be stupid anymore. Right. Like, let him give him the guidance so that he can feel confident and accomplished. That's what you need to do.
Put this guy out of Dale and my misery.
Right. Well, when I say mercy kill, like, don't send him back out into the world to
into the
fumbling wild around. Like, help the guy out.
He's got a broken wing. He needs to have it worked.
Right. Right. Exactly. If you want Brian and I to listen to your call, maybe have a little chuckle, but ultimately help you improve what you're doing, all you need to do is click the link that you find in the description and you can submit a call and we will redact your name, but you will get massive benefit from getting direct feedback on how you could have handled the situation that we listened to. Don't be afraid. Screw it up with us. We're not going to pay you a commission anyway. But we'll give you free coaching.
And I want to say this. Dale and I do like to make fun. We do like to really push the buttons. And if you take it as fun, it'll be really beneficial for you. If you get insulted by us, then I'll apologize ahead of time. But we are who we are. And we're two East Coasters who can't do anything but be straightforward. So you're stuck with us.
I mean, it does also make for a good podcast, right? Because it's entertaining to listen to. If you're willing to suffer the slings and arrows of two old guys laughing at your call, we can really help your business.
Amen. Dale, as always, I appreciate it.
It's Cash Call, everybody. Catch us next week. Hey, if you like that and you want to get more help from me, check the description below. I have several links down there where you can get free live with me additional training to help you in your business, to help you overcome more objections, get into better conversations, convert your leads at a higher level, and really just become the kind of lead generating and converting agent that you know you want to be and the one that you know you need to be in order for you to hit your sales goals. So come join me. Check out the links in the description.